You're a wizard, Harry. Potter Book Club for the Sorcerer's Stone with
Sarah Tompkins,
Vijaya Shrestha,
and Michael DeMauro. This week we discuss the Sorcerer's Stone Chapter 11, Quidditch. We sort celebrities into the appropriate houses, and the battle for the Quidditch Cup continues. We're back with another week of the Quidditch Cup. We are in the home stretch. I don't know why I keep doing this voice.
Because it's great, because I feel like you need to be an announcer.
Yeah. Well, this is our quiz game. Whoever gets the most points at the end of book one gets the Quidditch Cup.
It sure does.
Yeah, and lots of pride.
Who's it gonna be? Who knows? Who wants to read their question first this week?
I went first, no.
I'll do it. I can do it. Okay. I haven't done it in a while.
Okay.
Right? Maybe. I don't know.
Why not?
What sort of dog is Fang?
Oh,
Jesus, I don't know. That was too close to call.
Oh, shit. Oh, I remember it now again.
Both of you say it at the same time.
You have to count to three.
One, two, three. A Bloodhound's a Mastiff.
What did
I said? Bloodhound. Bloodhound. I said Neapolitan Mastiff.
You're both wrong. It's a boarhound.
Ah, oh, fuck.
What is a boarhound? What is the difference between a boarhound and a bloodhound? Is there a difference?
Well, one has boar in the name.
Oh, you know what? I think the dog that played it in the movie was a Neapolitan Mastiff.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Oh yeah, because a boarhound looks like a Great Dane. Aww, is that what it is? I looked at boarhound and I got a Great Dane.
Yeah.
Man. Tough.
Tough titty.
Did you know that Bloodhound is track 9 on 50 Cent's Get Rich or Die Tryin'?
Why'd you know?
I did not know that.
Because I just tried to look up Bloodhound. Go look how cute it is. Okay.
That's
sorry.
Cute is a word. That was tricky because you both went right to the movie.
That is true. That is true.
That's true.
And we both went right to the wrong answer.
I was so sure about it.
I was too.
Probably. We both.
No, Bajai was more correct. But that was definitely a hound in the movie, I feel like.
No, he wasn't a bloodhound though. He had shorter ears.
Okay.
And he was bigger.
So wait, boarhound, was that in the movie or the book?
The book. Okay. In the book he's a boarhound. My questions are all from the book. Sorry.
All right. I'm going to go second. In the Leaky Cauldron, who shakes hands with Harry Potter the most times?
Was that me?
Oh, sorry, yes.
I feel like that was me. Would that be Daedalus Diggle?
No, that's what I thought it was, too.
Oh, damn it, really?
Yeah.
Man, I'm going to get this right. You guys are going to be mad at me.
I sure will, because it's not Daedalus Diggle. I'm really surprised.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yes.
Is it Quirrell?
No.
Oh, okay.
He only shakes one time. It's Doris Crockford. Daedalus Diggle is the one that shook hands with Harry, like, before at a shop one time. And Harry Potter remembers it.
Damn it.
Hmm. Does that mean Sarah's the only one left?
I think it does.
Yep.
What color is Professor Quirrell's turban? Yes.
Like maroonish red, right?
No.
Damn it! I throw my phone.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yes.
I think it's a nice shade of lavender.
It is purple. I will accept lavender.
Really?
Well, lavender is pretty light. Maroon is closer to purple, maybe. I'll give you half a point. Well, I'll give you a quarter of a point. We're not doing quarter points. I guess.
No, we're not doing quarter points.
I guess I give you half a point.
Yes!
Even though I should. All right.
Well, just extending my lead here.
With 8 points, Sarah's in second place with 6. Bajaya's got 5.5.
Oh, Bajaya's real close to me.
We'll be back.
I'm so close to you. So close.
Chapter 11, Quidditch.
Quidditch.
Man, can we remember just last week when we were talking about the rules of Quidditch, and then we talked about...
And how bunk they are.
And how then we talked about, like, what's the deal with Quidditch, and it was like, we talked about Quidditch a lot.
We have.
I thought...
But you know what, Michael?
Yeah.
I can't get enough Quidditch.
You can't get enough Quidditch?
Yeah.
Well, you are in luck, because this chapter is called Quidditch. And in this chapter, Harry plays Quidditch.
Boy, howdy.
Yeah, so it's the first match of the year. It's Slytherin versus Gryffindor.
Boo, and, yay!
And boy, have they been practicing and training and stuff.
For their four games.
For their
three
four
games. Games.
Hermione is, like, way cooler now after the whole troll incident.
Because they actually talk to her like she's a human being.
Right. They treat her like not garbage.
That's
and
good.
So she's like, you know, she's fun to hang out with. She's like cracking jokes. She's doing cool stuff like breaking the rules and vis-a-vis sticking fire into a jar, which is a rule that she's breaking somehow.
She stuck fire into a jar?
Yeah, she would put fire into a jelly jar, and then they would just stand around it because it would keep them warm.
So they're only allowed so much warmth at Hogwarts.
Right. And also then you would know that she can do that. So, well, just hold on. We'll get later in the chapter. You'll find out why we had to hear about this jelly jar.
Later in the book?
Later in this very chapter.
Well, I mean book, too.
Well, okay, also technically in the book, yes. So they're just hanging out by their jam jar, and Snape is limping by. What's the deal with his limp? I don't know.
What's the deal with his limp?
We're not doing a segment called What's the Deal with Snape's Limp.
Hey, remind me to tell you a joke later about jam and jelly.
Oh, I thought you were saying about limps, and I was like, this is not going to go in a good direction.
When you tell it, can you not completely murder it as badly as Nika did?
Oh, yeah, because Nika
there's an actual
was
joke
terrible
about this?
At it. Sorry, Nika.
Yeah, she really screwed up that joke, FYI. So I was saying, so Snape is like limping by. No one knows why.
No one knows.
He limping. And they're like, oh, shit, we've got this jelly jar full of fire. Hopefully Snape doesn't see it.
Why don't they just like open it and blow it out?
It's not that kind of fire.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, why doesn't she just do a spell to put it out really fast?
I can't answer that. But so Snape doesn't notice the fire, but he is super pissed that he's just like, what? And he just looks at him and he's like, You're holding a book. That book shouldn't be outside. 5 points from Gryffindor.
You're reading?
Yeah, so he makes up a rule about not being able to have library books outside, and he gives
what?
Him.
Maybe that is
points.
A real Do you think that's
no,
a real rule?
No, who doesn't let a lot? When do you not, like, how often do you read outside? I read outside a lot. Not right now.
Maybe something happened, you know? I don't know.
Who knows?
Just trying to be
anyway,
Snape's
advocate. He confiscates Quidditch through the ages or whatever the hell it's called. And Harry's all sad. So later that night, he's like, man, fuck this. I'm Harry Potter. I'm Harry motherfucking Potter.
I ain't standing for none of this shit.
And he gets real sweary, and
who wouldn't?
And so he's like, oh, you know what? I'm gonna go and find Snape. I'm gonna get my gosh darn book back. And so he goes down to the staff room and he knocks twice. No one answers, and so he's like, oh. So he opens the door and he sees a horrible scene inside wherein Filch is looking up Snape's skirt. It's very weird. I mean, technically,
there's some sort of HR lawsuit to be had here.
Filch and Snape sitting on a tree, if you know what I mean.
So I do.
Snape's legs all mangled up. He doesn't go to Madame Pomfrey. He instead has a squib hand him bandages.
I have many questions about that won't be relevant until book 7.
So he's like, Potter! And Harry's like, can I have my book? And he's like, Potter! And so then Harry runs off. But he heard them when he opened the door. He heard them say, how are you supposed to follow all three heads at once? And so he's like, huh, they know about the three-headed dog.
Or he has a very complicated shower.
Or that.
I don't know.
But they don't jump to that conclusion. They jump to the conclusion that it was Snape who let the troll out. It was Snape who was trying to get the stuff. He was doing it as a distraction so he could go and steal whatever the thing is that they don't know what it is. And Snape is a bad guy, is what I'm telling you. Snape let the troll out? So then it's the next morning, and oh my gosh, it's Quidditch time.
This is my favorite time.
It is for real. Like, they're really Quidditching. And so they start Quidditching, and Harry, they're flying around. Nothing's really happening. Harry's like, oh man, there's the snitch. And he like goes for it, but Marcus Flint fouls him.
Oh, he's the captain of the Slytherin team, right?
Yeah, he's a captain. He looks like he has some troll blood in him.
He's kind of a doofus with big teeth and a overhanging forehead.
Right. So he doesn't catch a snitch. And then like nothing's really happening. He's just sort of flying around. But then his broom starts going crazy.
What? Did he get a factory reject? Did they get it on overstock.com?
They must have. No, it's somebody theoretically is jinxing this broom. What? And Hermione like grabs binoculars and looks across and she sees Snape and he's making eye contact. He's murmuring, his lips are moving. Clearly he's jinxing this broom.
Clearly.
So she goes, I guess, all the way down to the field or something. I don't know how she gets over to the other side of the stands.
It's gotta take a long time, though.
They're, like, way up in the air.
Like, I know how long it takes to go and get a hot dog at, like, Yankee Stadium, and it's a long time.
Yeah. So she runs over, she knocks over Quirrell, and she doesn't even say sorry. And then, weirdly, this whole bit is weird, she pours out her jelly jar full of fire onto Snape's robes.
Wait, question. She's been carrying this jelly jar full of fire around with her since then?
Well, you can't put it out, right? You just have to carry it around. Look at,
oh my God. I don't know.
Do you just like be like, oh, sorry, I'm just going to put this in my messenger bag?
And so then here's the really weird thing. She waits until he notices it somehow, or he notices he's on fire, but then she scoops it back up.
Why wouldn't you just leave it? Is it that important? Is your fire that important to you?
I don't know. And how did he not notice her scooping it? It's very, the whole thing is very weird.
How do you scoop fire?
I don't really know. The good news, though, is that her distraction worked. Harry is now in control of his broom, and then suddenly he starts plummeting to the ground. And he throws his hand over his mouth, falls off the broom, and then he essentially barfs up the snitch, which he caught with his mouth for some weird reason. So they go back. Everyone's like, "Yay, Harry Potter for president!" Everyone's really happy. So they go back to Hagrid's place, and they're like, "That motherfucking Snape! He's evil, and he's trying to kill us." But Hagrid's not having it. He's like, no, he's a teacher. He wouldn't do that.
Yeah, no, because teachers are never bad.
Right. And Hermione's like, I saw him doing the stuff that one would need to do to jinx a broom. And then somehow Hagrid's like, no, that's not true. And also, Nicholas Flamel's a person. And then we end the chapter.
What?
How is he a person in the chapter? Explain.
Well, because they're like, we know Snape went and saw the three-headed dog and tried to steal the thing. And Hagrid's like, you leave that stuff alone. That's between Dumbledore and Nicholas Flamel.
That's very specific of him to say. He couldn't just say, Hagrid. That's none of your beeswax.
He could have, but he's Hagrid, and Hagrid is not.
He's too honest. He's too open.
Smart.
No, he's very open, Michael.
Yeah, he is.
He just doesn't think about stuff before he talks about it.
So, Bajaya sent me a link to the Pottermore thing, writing about Nicholas Flamel, and I thought it was fun because when I was in Paris last time...
Oh my god, I was in Paris.
I believe I tweeted a picture of a sign that said, like, Nicholas Flamel Street or whatever it was.
And you're like, oh my god, they totally named a street after a Harry Potter character, right?
And I was like, how is this... what is this? Is he a real dude? I don't know. There's probably an internet that I could look it up, but I won't.
I won't even wiki that.
So I took a picture of it, and I sort of assumed he was a real dude. And then sure enough, J.K. Rowling wrote about how he was a real dude. And he...
It's pretty cool.
Found some weird tome and tried to...
Make gold?
Tried to make the Philosopher's Stone or whatever. Yeah, he was a real guy. He was really an alchemist.
I think it's pretty cool that she, like, actually... I don't know if she just knew about the Philosopher's Stone and then before she wrote the book, or she researched it while she was writing it. But I think it's pretty cool that she incorporated history into it.
Well, like, the whole idea of alchemy is actually super prevalent if you look at any sort of texts. Well, actually, it's interesting because it was a concept in, like, the, like, 13 and 1400s, like, in the Middle Ages. But the Gothic Age, like, so basically 1800s, sort of brought that back. Like, the whole Frankenstein thing was sort of a play on the idea of alchemy and this idea of man being God and creating something amazing from nothing. So, right. So it's pretty prevalent, especially in British literature. So I feel like she's a pretty smart lady. She must have had some sort of idea of alchemy in the very least, which is huge.
She actually has a writing about alchemy in Pottermore that I'm sure we will talk about later. But
nice.
She also incorporates other things that she has written about, like colors and other things. Bottom line, Pottermore is super cool, and you should, if you ever go look at Pottermore and start exploring the stories and characters, you just get sucked into this bunny or rabbit hole. Not bunny
rabbit hole.
Not the bunny hole.
This episode brought to you by Pottermore.
Pottermore. I was going to say, this episode brought to you by Alice in Wonderland, but I actually, Pottermore better.
You just get sucked into this rabbit hole of, because I kept going from character to character, and then there's like creature character things, and then I don't know, there's a whole bunch of other stuff that you could just keep going through, and I'm just like, there's so much. And you all know,
it's cool.
I got overwhelmed the other day.
You did. It's cool. Check it out. Here's a weird thing. How come Harry knocked on the door twice and they didn't hear him?
How come Harry knocked on the door and he decided to just go in? Where was he raised?
How did they not hear him?
I don't know. Maybe Filch was like squawking at Snape, or maybe they just assumed that, like, you know what I do when people knock on my door sometimes? I ignore it and hope it goes away. Because I'm like, I didn't order a pizza, so
right.
No one is here to see me. It's probably a Jehovah's Witness.
Maybe Snape was so much in pain that he didn't hear it, and then Filch was just so overwhelmed by Snape's injury that he was just like, ah, I don't know what
also,
to do.
Why would you do that in the teacher's lounge and not... Wait, was it in the teacher's lounge?
Yeah, staff.
And not like and not, in not in Snape's dungeon.
Yeah.
Like, that's a public area. They all have to be sort of in on whatever
but
Snape's
at the same
doing.
Time, if I knock on someone's door twice and they don't answer, I'm not going to be like, well, nobody answered, I'm going to go in. Well, but I guess the thing is that Harry was trying to go in there to get the book, right? So yeah. Maybe he was like, oh, no
so
one.
So basically he was already feeling his oats, as my great-grandma would say.
Maybe he was just thinking that if no one answered, no one's in there, maybe the book is in there so I can just go get it.
It's all very convenient,
no,
J.K.
No.
Rowling.
Well, you know how I went to a British Catholic school before? And we used to have staff rooms. This is for real. We used to have staff rooms on every floor. And there were times when, you know, I was like, oh, there's no one in here. Let me just go grab the stuff that someone else had taken away from me. They are not listening to this podcast. Well, you know, like, teachers take away, like, your...
Yeah, they usually put it in their top of their desk drawer.
Well, we didn't have a... The teachers went in and out of the classroom. We didn't switch classrooms.
Oh,
it was different
than
American, schools. So the teachers all went to a staff room on the floor that... Different floors had different staff rooms, but... whenever I did that a couple of times, I won't lie, because they would like, you know, take away, I don't know, a magazine or like an illicit book, you might say.
Oh dear.
I don't know. I think it's pretty gutsy, Harry.
It is. He's a Gryffindor.
I was very gutsy.
That's true. He is a Gryffindor.
He is. Well, I think that does it for our chapter.
Pretty good. That was a pretty Quidditchy chapter.
That was very Quidditchy. A
lot of Quidditching.
150 points for you, Michael.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
You win this chapter because you get all that. Sarah and I both had like 20 points.
Yeah.
Right.
I scored.
I'm not even sure why you guys bothered.
I know.
We're back with another sorting. This week, we're going to do celebrities.
We could call it, like, assorted characters.
What?
Ooh. Or something. Sorry. I'm done.
We're back with another assorted characters.
No, that was very good. Stop. You knew it was terrible. Why did you humor me?
This segment, we sort ourselves.
Assorted humor? I'm just trying. Sorry, I'm workshopping this, guys.
This is the segment where we take public figures and sort them into houses.
Yay!
That's exciting. This week, we're going to do general celebrities.
Wait, do they have to be generals?
Yes, they have to be generals.
I choose Ulysses S. Grant.
Okay.
General Patton.
Michael, pick a general.
General Pataki, isn't that one?
Petraeus, isn't that one?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
Okay, disgraced one, but he would be in Slytherin. No, he would actually probably be in Gryffindor and just be disgraced.
Yeah, he would definitely be disgraced Gryffindor.
All right, so my celebrity that I picked, my hometown gal pal, my best friend in my fantasy, Jennifer Lawrence.
I was going to say, is she your best friend?
She's a Louisville native, you guys.
What?
And she also loves the Louisville Cardinals just like I do. And she should be my best friend, but she's not. So, J-Law, if you're listening to this, please become my best friend.
And mine. Mike's.
So, who you think she is?
I think she would be Hufflepuff.
Hmm. Interesting.
Hmm.
Because she is super fun to hang out with, it seems like.
I agree.
And she also seems like she's very sweet.
So as a Hufflepuff, I would love to accept her into my house. But I feel like maybe she's a Gryffindor.
I think I was going to pick second
because
Gryffindor.
Just because, like, she's super sweet, but she kind of does what she wants.
She's a little feisty.
Yeah, she's kind of a, like, I say something and I stand by it, but I definitely said it before maybe I thought it through. But, like, not in a bad way, just in an endearing, like, this is what I'm actually thinking way. She's pretty gutsy. She wrote that letter in Vanity Fair Variety, about equal pay.
Yeah.
Which was kind of, was very brave. Although I'm not saying Hufflepuff couldn't do that, because I would write that myself. Were I, you know, a multi-million dollar, earning actress.
What do you think, Michael?
I feel like she's fairly, as far as celebs go, I don't think there's a lot of like super nice ones, and she seems pretty nice, so
it's true.
And like kind of down to earth and like a real ass person. So
real ass person.
Real ass. She seems like an ass person. So I don't know. I guess I'll go along with Hufflepuff.
I like the argument. I'm gonna go with it, and I would like her as my house. Actually, you know what? She loves pizza like so much.
Oh man,
food.
Who doesn't love pizza?
So I feel
she would love to be by the
She would love to be by the kitchen. So we would totally get midnight snacks together. Okay, I'm sold. You sold
but
me.
I do agree with what you said though. I think she has qualities between a Hufflepuff and a Gryffindor.
I think most people have qualities that match many houses. And I think that was a good argument though. Nicely done.
All right, great.
Your turn, Sarah.
So my celebrity is Mr. Bill Murray.
Ooh.
And I was having some trouble with him because I was like, he's kind of random enough to be like a Hufflepuff because he's just weird and kind of out there and aloof and stoned probably a lot of the time. But I kind of think that he just like, he kind of makes his career choices by like what he wants. He's kind of like, you know what? I'm going to do this right now because I want to do this right now. And I think that he has a good amount of self-confidence and sort of like, you know, he knows that he's a brand. So I think that he's a Gryffindor, you know? I think that he has that sort of like celebrity Harry Potter thing going on. Like, you know, okay, I'm kind of a big deal.
Hmm.
That's my feeling.
What do you think, Michael?
He's so lovable, though.
This is true. He's very lovable. And he's also very smart.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe he's like Slytherin. Maybe he's like a secret weird Raven. Yeah, maybe he's a secret weird Ravenclaw.
You know what? And like, I think he doesn't care enough about people to be a Gryffindor sometimes. I think that maybe he's smart enough and like just calculated enough to be like, you know what? I'm just going to do what I want to do and I'm going to like think and do what I want to think. So maybe he's a secret Ravenclaw.
Man.
I think, yeah.
He kind of convinced me on that one.
Do we believe that he does the thing where he like walks up to people and
he like
covers their eyes and whispers into their ear like, no one will ever believe you.
You know what?
I hope he does.
I kind of think he might. I definitely know that he like goes to parties and is like, this is just where I'm going to be right now, guys. So good luck.
He seems like an eccentric Ravenclaw.
Yeah, actually, I could see him as an old Ravenclaw that like goes and just lives by himself, but also like does weird shit and casts crazy spells and funds ores or something like that. I think he's Ravenclaw. You guys turn me around.
Hey.
All right.
So, guys, what do you think? Do you think Ravenclaw?
Oh, Michael's.
Yeah, I never actually did mine.
No. Michael, why do you need to go?
I mean, we can just skip mine, I guess.
Do you even have a person?
Michael, did you give a spot?
Of course I have a person. What do you think I'm Googling top celebrities right now? Because that's ridiculous. Clearly, I am.
Who's your celebrity, Michael?
Completely. I don't know. How about Kanye?
Oh, gross. He would definitely be Slytherin? Like Gryffindor or Slytherin.
You know what? He'd be like, I'm Voldemort. And you're like, no, Kanye, you're not Voldemort. And he's like, I'm Dumbledore.
He would be the one that would get sorted into like Gryffindor and then get tired of being Gryffindor and want to be different. So he'd be like, I want to be a Slytherin now.
Yeah, he would totally be one of, and McGonagall would be like, you can't do that, Kanye. And he'd be like, I'm doing it now. And
no, McGonagall's probably like, Snape, he's your problem. Bye.
I would argue.
If you put him in Ravenclaw.
No, I'm not gonna. Ravenclaw's not my answer for everything.
I don't think he can be a Hufflepuff.
I think he would be. Yeah. I think he'd be a. I think the its question is Gryffindor or Slytherin.
Yeah, no, yeah. It's definitely. Because I think those are the only houses cocky enough to host someone like that.
I think he does a lot of stuff that
Harry Potter does.
It's not necessarily like he probably knows like this is gonna be bad, but I'm gonna do it anyway. So that's why I would probably say Gryffindor.
Oh, I thought you'd say Slytherin.
I think I don't think he's calculating enough to be.
I think he's too. Slytherin. Well, no. Okay, so there's Slytherins can be very self-centered.
Right.
But I think he already thinks he's at the top of the world. You know what I mean? Like, I think Slytherins are like, I need to get to the top of the world.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm already there. So, okay, Gryffindor.
All right. Vijaya, are you going to argue with
us? He's like, I'm the youngest seeker. I'm even younger. I was a seeker in my mother's stomach, guys.
Why do you hate Kanye? Why do you hate Kanye so much?
I also hate him. No, he just had.
I don't hate Kanye. I don't hate Kanye's music.
I'm one of those people that if I don't like the person, that I don't want to listen or watch their movies. Like, I don't like Tom Cruise, so I don't watch Tom Cruise movies.
Yeah, but see, I like Kanye more than I like Tom Cruise because
I used to like Kanye. And I used to listen to his music, and then he became really weird, and then he married Kim Kardashian, and named their children North and Saint, so I don't like them. And I don't watch or listen to his music anymore.
Yes, Saint. So, those were our celebrity choices. Feel free to argue them.
Right.
How do you feel about that? Do you think they made the right choices? Is Bill Murray now your housemate? Do you have to fight over food in the Hufflepuff kitchen or the Ravenclaw common room, probably, now that we decided that he's a Ravenclaw with him?
If you have celebrity suggestions
that you think
we should sort into houses, please let us know.
We want to know. Thanks, everybody. Thank you for joining us for You're a Wizard, Harry. Want to help out? Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star rating and review. Want to get in touch? Email us at potterpod@geeklyinc.com or follow us on Twitter at potterpod or geeklyinc. And individually, you can find me at ThriftyNerd.
I'm Bajaya Shrestha, and you can find me on Twitter at EthnicNinja.
I am Sarah Tompkins, and you should hit me up at HerLadyTompkins. Or you can follow us on Tumblr at PotterPod.
Our podcast art is created by Jesse Carlton. You can find more of his work at J! On Instagram. And our music is created by Sean Fagan. Find more of his music at soundcloud.com/sleepyfish. Thank you.